drive.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at espnau.com.
The start of Memorial Day weekend. And a reminder, no drive on Monday. We will be off Memorial Day Monday. And when we come back on Tuesday, we're going to be on the road. We'll be at Franklin Tire when we come back on Tuesday. So it is the final show until next Tuesday. And one of the big story I'm sure that we will get into here this afternoon is the settlement that has been reached, which will end the House versus NCAA lawsuit. We'll talk about some of the things that could be happening as a result of that, and how it affects schools and how it can affect some of the student athletes. We'll talk about that as we move on through here this afternoon. I was telling Dan, it's just Bill and Dan, by the way. Drew a little under the weather, I guess.
Yes, yeah, that is the case. Drew was Drew texted me earlier today, and I don't know if he planned on leaving town or whatever, but he's off today. So you know, Drew, hopefully back Tuesday. Remember, no show Monday with Memorial Day. Mm-hmm. So we'll power through today I think we're used to having Memorial Days, not to step on sort of your idea here, Bill. But like,
oh, we haven't gotten to it yet.
I know. So. What I mean is, like, we're used to having Memorial Days where there's very little going on in the world of college sports.
And,
like Memorial Day weekends.
And, I mean, you've got the settlement.
Which is
something going on.
I mean, it's not just something going on. This could end up being a pretty historic day.
Absolutely. I mean, things have changed so much in college athletics over the last 5 years. And this is another... I mean, it will be a very obvious point in the changes and the direction that we're headed with college athletics.
Yeah, there are some pretty significant developments that, and granted, there are pitfalls between now and a finalization of the settlement. Things could go awry, but if everything goes according to schedule. According to script, you know, however, you know, if everything goes sort of as planned right now, there could be a very different landscape in college athletics after the season is over, you know, implementation next summer. But we could be talking about, you know, the way that you might have looked at the last 5 years as the NIL era of college athletics. We could be entering something else in the very near future, where it's a more professional model of student athletes, or at least the compensation for student athletes is more directly coming from schools and more in the form of salary than it's ever been before.
Oh, yes. I mean, this is definitely a huge step toward, payment, direct payment to players by the universities. You know, it had been, we'll go through NIL groups, which then became collectives. Those appear to be moving in-house, and the universities will be directly paying. It's a $2.8 billion settlement that would be paid over the next 10 years to current and former athletes. And as I understand it, Dan, I mean, there is still an awful lot of work going into determining who gets how much. Because I have read some people saying there's going to have to be a formula determining what each player's worth was. In other words, as Jacob and I were talking as his show wound up, someone who was a third string, say you're a third string offensive guard at a small school, isn't going to get as much as a former Heisman Trophy winner. I mean, they're going to have to determine how to distribute that. Now, that is one portion.
And I believe there are legal, even though this is new territory, I'm sure, for whoever is tasked with doing exactly that.
Just think about this. It's going to create some jobs. It's going to take more than one person sitting and going, oh, yeah, out of the thousands of claims, here's how much everybody gets. It's going to take a group with a pretty extensive, pretty involved formula.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
I would think that there have been other class action lawsuits with lots of people getting payments of different amounts where they would have to rely on.
I wonder if there have been class actions that are as wide ranging as this could be from.
I would think it would be like if there was some sort of, not to be glib about this, but if there was some sort of catastrophe. I was involved a little bit in the BP oil spill. If you remember, I was living down in Destin when it happened back in 2010. There were a lot of different people claiming different things to get settlement amounts.
Yeah, we got, yeah, we're not far from the Gulf either. So we got a few
exactly,
you know, like benefits.
There are, and there have been, you know, whether it was, I mean, you know, there were a lot of different class. I mean, there have been events.
But I mean, it was much easier then to just say if you're less than this, you get that. If you're this far away, you get the other. This is going to be. I mean, it's going to involve every sport, and from starters and stars down to backups.
Well, not to air too much of in the case of the BP oil spill, like back then they were having to calculate. I mean, because you think about all the different businesses in Destin and Fulton Beach that are tourist reliant from May to September, and they had to calculate how much money was this business probably going to make. You know, had the oil spill not happened, and they had to project and do things like this, and there were the algorithms involved. Hearing about, I believe one of the attorneys for the plaintiff in NCAA versus House is a guy named Steve Berman, not Steve Berman, but Steve Berman, and he is he talked about the different algorithms that would be used, including what kind of recruit you were coming out of high school.
Absolutely,
how many stars was one of the things
were assigned to you. I mean, that's involved, and then your performance, what you did, how many years you played, how many years you started, and so forth. It is, like I said, it's a huge formula.
And I suppose if NIL has such an outsized impact on recruiting today, and you're trying to compensate people who missed out on being recruits during the era of NIL, or at least recent student athletes who missed out on being recruits during the era of NIL, I guess you do factor in what kind of recruits they were as far as figuring out what their value. If you're trying to figure out what their value would have been, and I don't know if this is exactly what they're doing, but it might be a simple way.
They have to try to have something.
Let's imagine this guy whose eligibility expired in 2017, 2018. What would his, if he had gone on the NIL market, you know, had the NIL.
Well, his eligibility probably would have had to expire later, wouldn't it? Because it doesn't go back to 20. Well, I guess anyone who participated from 2016 on.
I believe a student.
But what would your stars matter if it didn't start until your junior year?
What my understanding would be that a student athlete whose eligibility expired in 2018 would only get 2 years worth of benefits to this program.
And I think you'd need to go by his 2 years and not what he was coming out.
As opposed to somebody
or she.
I'll tell you who might be well positioned in this situation is Bo Nix. 5 years.
Oh, yeah.
Five-star. 5 years as a starting quarterback at the Division I level.
And
all of it during
put up pretty good numbers.
All of it during the window of this lawsuit.
Yes. Oh, yes.
I mean, he's already doing. He was a first-round pick in the NFL draft, and he was a starting quarterback in the NIL era. But I thought about that instead. I was like, ooh, wow, a guy who. You know who else? How about this, Bill? Jalen Williams. Five-year starter.
Sure.
Five-year starter in college basketball these last 5 years during the NIL window, was a prominent recruit coming out of high school. Top 100, right? Something like that. I think it was borderline top 100 player nationally coming out of high school. Jalen was. It's been a while. I don't remember exactly what Jalen Williams was coming out of high school. But I just think it is really interesting, and it does sound like they're going to I would imagine they're going to have to call in people who have tried to sort out other large class action lawsuits in the past and try to apply. They might have to call the guys who did the BCS formulas, right? The algorithms back then.
Oh, yeah.
To figure out.
Well, I mean, the thing is, they're going to have to come up with another formula first. The first, they're going to have to create the formula. Then they're going to have to have someone plugging those numbers
that's
in.
That's your dream job now.
Oh, man.
Post-retirement.
That would have been.
That would have been.
It's too much trouble now.
I think now you'd still find a way to be.
It would sort of be fun going, oh, wow, this player's worth this. This one's worth that.
Yeah, if you're invited in the room on the board.
So that is the $2.8 billion that's going to be paid out over the next 10 years. In addition, there's going to be 20-plus million that each school is expected to have to be able to pay its current and future athletes yearly.
Now schools are, and there's an important distinction here, Bill. Schools will be allowed to, Division I schools will be allowed to, but not required, to set aside up to $20 million for revenue sharing. Athletes will know if they're going to revenue sharing schools or not, is what I think what that means.
Yeah, and the thing to remember is this is not, does not really affect NIL, which is moving in-house. NIL would be in addition to the revenue sharing.
This is predominantly for Big Ten and SEC schools, I suspect. And
everybody's going to have a base. Apparently, to satisfy Title IX, every athlete who is on a roster, and now it's, I mean, pretty much it's going to be rosters. As we have talked, you don't have to really worry about scholarship, non-scholarship. If you're on a roster, you're entitled to the share, to the athlete's share of that that pot that the university's holding.
Because of the $20 million, because of the recent media deals, Bill, I would think that the I would think that the SEC and the Big Ten are far better positioned to absorb a $20 million hit every year to there. Assuming there's not going to be, I mean, look, maybe this will spark donations, right? And maybe moving NIL in-house. We were talking about this yesterday with Justin. I mean, if NIL is in-house, why would anyone give to an outside NIL club?
Oh, no, you wouldn't. You wouldn't.
You would just donate to the school and earmark it for NIL. I don't know exactly the tax implications of that versus...
You're probably still not going to be able to write that off.
Probably not, but either way, like that still seems to be... And even with the absorption there, SEC and Big Ten schools will be much better suited to absorb a $20 million, not a hit, but having to allocate $20 million to revenue sharing for their student athletes. ACC schools, the Big 12, that's a big chunk of what ESPN's paying you every year. And then everyone else. I mean, that wipes out.
Yeah, the smaller schools.
They have to just acknowledge to their student athletes that we're going to share a very small percentage of the.
If anything.
Yeah, what they could do is they could say, here's the revenue, and here's what we're going to share on a percentage basis, but overall the number might not approach $20 million. That might be the standard. You know, and there might be different standards across different leagues. I do wonder the impact this could have on. I mean, as someone who works for a Sunbelt team, like I'm a little bit curious to see like how this impacts mid-major programs.
Well, I mean,
non-SEC, Big Ten.
They're still going to be feeder. They're basically going to be your feeder programs, which they've almost become now.
Because they're
going to be limited number of spaces on rosters. You won't have preferred walk-ons and things like that. It's like if you're on the team, you're on the team and you're going to be sharing. If you're not there, then your opportunity to play and to go somewhere at all is going to be at the smaller schools where you may not be able to get that amount as a revenue share.
You know how sometimes we see head coaches at the Group of Five level or the D1AA level, like, you know how we see them jump up to be assistants for big time programs.
Oh, you're going to see more of that.
Well, I think we might see that at the roster level, where guys, we used to talk about guys prioritizing playing time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you can be the 85th guy on an SEC team and get in that revenue sharing pool, maybe that's more. I wonder
if the mid-majors still might. I mean, even if they can't revenue share, there may still be NIL that would make it more beneficial than being the 85th player on a revenue sharing school.
I mean, certainly hope so. I think that's the better thing for the sport, would be that the best players are still trying to get playing time at the Division I level rather than being content, I'll be the fourth guy on an SEC team's depth chart.
I'll be the number four quarterback as opposed to being a starter
at
and
Coastal,
a star
yeah, at
right
at Coastal or Georgia State or something. I would hope that things balance out to where I don't know.
It is mind-boggling to just think about what could happen.
Is there an amount of money you think where it gets? I'm sure, of course, the answer is yes. But like,
there's always an amount.
Probably. And you know what? If human history is any indication, Bill, the answer is probably yes. There's an amount of money. But is there a reasonable amount of money where you are talking about? Yeah, the guy would rather be QB4 at SEC school than the start. Because I certainly hope not. Like that does feel like it would just be a a really bad thing for competition in the sport. Maybe that's where we're headed, but you know, it does seem like playing time is still a big priority for players in the transfer portal, and that probably should, I mean, that should still be the case. I would worry that, I mean, boy, that would just be devastating to every level underneath the SEC and the Big Ten if it became, yeah, well, you know, they have their pick of everyone, even if, you know, they can take a starter from a mid-major and say, yeah, come on board and be our number four quarterback, because the money's...
It's hard to think that that's not possible. Not even likely. I mean, yeah.
I hope not, right?
It looks like that could be the case. So, yeah, that is what we're on the edge of. We're right there waiting to see. Now, the plaintiffs, their attorneys... And the federal judge still, I believe, have to okay this, right?
Yes. There are multiple the reasons it's not final are because you would need the judge in
both
California.
Sides and the judge have to go, okay, we're good to go.
Now I believe both sides
why wouldn't the federal judge say, okay, if both sides had agreed?
I mean, in case there's something untoward.
The judge goes, wait a minute. Yeah.
There could be, yeah. I mean, there are times when, mm-hmm. I mean, in contract law, where there's an agreement on
there
both
are.
Sides, and then the judge says,
this isn't fair.
Wait a second.
It's not fair.
So,
right.
So the judge will have months. I know that it was supposed to go to trial in January. The judge will have the federal judge in California presiding over the case will decide in the next few months whether to approve or reject the settlement. The settlement was, I believe it was proposed, I don't know who actually wrote the terms of the settlement, if it was a collaboration between the lawyers for the plaintiffs and representatives for the five conferences. And it's so funny to talk about the five conferences too, because like it really was like Oregon State and Washington State.
Yeah, was they're the Pac-12.
That was the vote.
Yeah,
but it's no, it was a decision between those conferences. And yeah, I believe the agreement last night suggests that both sides have agreed to settlement terms. And now the question is, will the judge accept it, and will other lawsuits fold and plaintiffs for those lawsuits, similar lawsuits, accept the terms of House versus NCAA.
All right, so that is the news of the day. All right, my idea for the day, I heard...
Same judge, by the way. Same judge who ruled for the plaintiff in the O'Bannon case, mm-hmm. is the federal
right.
judge in this case, House versus NCAA.
All right, so our fun project of the day, since this is the start of the long Memorial Day weekend... And once again, we'll be back Tuesday from Franklin Tire. Yeah, I even heard War with Summer on the way in. It's
okay.
My time of year, you know. I thought
Cisco Kid.
Yeah, oh, Cisco.
Different.
War is great. If you get an opportunity, the band, what's left of the band,
yeah?
goes by the name Low Rider, because there's one member who didn't agree that they could call themselves War.
I love that.
But it's still everybody. Saw him a few years ago at the Jazz Fest in Alex City, and I thought, oh, it's some band, cover band. It's like, oh no, it's
most
all
of this, yeah.
It's all but one of War.
And is the other member still with us, or is it like a family?
He's still
thing holding
he, okay. he was he at least he was a okay. couple of years ago, but he'd written some of the things, so he would not let them call themselves War. But you've got the singers, and you've got the harmonica player who is fabulous. Oh. I mean, oh yeah, some of those I didn't realize what it was. Anyway, so I heard that, and I thought it would be fun. Since summer is the unofficial start of summer is Memorial Day always. Just love to hear some stories about your favorite summer. Do you have a summer that you go, man, that was a great summer? Or what would make this a great summer for you? Just I can give you a couple of summer memories made for really fun summers in the past. So we'd love for you to join in. You can give us a call on the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar, 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840, on the Drive text box, presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, available however you listen to podcasts.
Just underway here on the Friday edition of the Drive.
Hey, y'all. This is Jonathan from University Ace Hardware. Be sure to join us Saturday.
Part of the drive. Call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email the drive at espnau.com.
Welcome back into the drive. Bill and Dan here on this Friday afternoon. Hope everybody doing well. Looks like a beautiful Memorial Day weekend. I think Monday may be the best or the most likely chance of rain, and it doesn't look like a terrible chance. So it looks like a really nice weekend.
Hope everybody is staying safe and healthy.
Be careful. A lot of folks are going to be on the road.
Yeah. I wonder how busy it'll be in the Auburn-Opelika area. Might go pop up lake adjacent and see the folks.
Sure, why
this
not?
Weekend.
They've got a place up there.
Might go see someone I'm related to up on the lake this weekend. I know people are always, you know, holiday. We can talk to somebody who knows.
That's right.
Well,
talk
about that.
He's got a place there at the lake too.
Holiday weekends up there can be can be an adventure. So everybody be safe this weekend. Be aware and be safe.
Let's get to the drive hotline. And yes, we're talking about our good friend Tex. Hey, Tex.
Howdy, Tex.
Hey guys, there's a reason I'm in Baton Rouge on this weekend.
Oh yeah. Well, I'm sure there is, but
there's way too many people.
So there's a place I can stay on the lake.
Fourth of July and Labor Day.
Tex, so you got a place for me and Bill on the lake is what you're saying this weekend.
For VRBO rates for that side of the lake, absolutely.
Yeah, that's all right. I've got my own getaway in the backyard.
Tex,
so.
I helped Dad. I helped him spring the boat from dry dock a couple of weeks ago, and I could tell it was starting to get to that time of year up there.
It is. Well, I will just tell you there. I was last weekend, and on Saturday and Sunday. The most boats we saw was four. So I much more enjoy that kind of atmosphere. Before we get into the other things that you talked about, I think it's very important to let you know that Auburn University has an athlete, a special athlete, that is playing for a national championship tomorrow against an individual from the University of Arizona in Stillwater, Oklahoma, at the Wheelchair Tennis Collegiate Tournament. Gay Putoff. From Loveland, Ohio, met him originally in Orlando, where that same wheelchair tennis team finished third at the intercollegiate event. And Gabe is in singles tomorrow, playing for a national championship.
Well, that's great.
The best thing about it is, guess what school the guy played for that he beat to be able to go to the finals.
The best thing would probably be either Alabama or Georgia.
It was Alabama.
Okay.
I let out a little bit of a hoot when that happened because I kind of enjoyed that. So he also plays on the wheelchair basketball team, mm-hmm. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
He's out there with Coach Nathan Waters. So I just thought I'd share that.
Yeah, I'm glad you did.
Doesn't get a lot of publicity, but if you ever get the opportunity to go watch any of the wheelchair teams from Auburn University go play, you're in for a special moment. Great athletes with great attitudes.
Tex,
it's really fun to be around.
We don't talk about the adapted athletics enough. You know, I think that's. I'm really glad you brought that up, and that's a really cool thing for Gabe. Good luck to him tomorrow. And yeah, you know, a lot of graduates among the adapted athletes this academic year as well. So just a really cool thing. Check out they've got a merch store. Like there's a ton of cool ways to support Auburn Adapted Athletics. You can donate directly to wheelchair basketball, wheelchair tennis, power wheelchair soccer. They have and they also have, you know, donations just to the program in general. But there's lots of cool stuff you can do to support something really special.
And I really appreciate you mentioning that. Thank you very much for doing that. So, Bill, you mentioned favorite summer.
Uh-huh.
You know, probably my favorite summer event that we've ever experienced. Cindy and I went to Alaska for 2 weeks when our son was pitching for the Mat-Su Miners in the Alaskan Collegiate League.
Oh, yeah, I remember the pictures.
Oh, my gosh. So, they actually had a rainout, which is very uncommon up there, and he was due to pitch, so he had it the next night. And I have a picture of him pitching at 9:30 at night with no light. There's no lights on the field.
Right.
So he's pitching at 9:30 at night with the Canadian Rockies in the background and snow all across the top of the mountains, which came from the rain that had fallen the day before. It was beautiful, and what a great atmosphere. Matsu is based out of Palmer, Alaska. There's population 2,500, and they sell 2,500 season tickets every year. So it's the whole community comes out, and it's an event, and it was really – and the things to see. So living in Louisiana where everything's flat,
right,
and having a place at Lake Martin where there's really hills in the beginning of some mountains, when you go there, if you really want to see changes in terrain, it's a great place to go visit. And it's the perfect time of year. You get 23 hours worth of sunlight. So that would be my favorite. As far as this whole thing with the settlement, and look, this has turned into being about money, and it won't stop being about money until it's not about the money. So if you're number 85 on, or if you're the backup quarterback at Troy and they'll take you as the number 4 guy at Auburn and you get paid revenue sharing, I have no doubt whatsoever where that young man will end up being, or where that point guard on the ladies' basketball team will be.
Mm-hmm.
They will be where they get paid the best. It's turned into nothing much more about money. And guess who's going to have to pay for that?
You and me and everybody else who is already paying.
Tends to get passed down to the tends to get passed down to the consumers in these situations.
It's definitely gotten passed down. And I'm glad I bought my, because I don't know when it's going to go into effect. I'm glad I bought the tickets for the opening baseball series. Well, it wasn't opening at the end of February when Auburn goes to Arlington to play, because they weren't cheap. But, of course, it's something I'm going to do. Are you going to stop buying football tickets, Bill? Probably not.
No, but before terribly long, my sons are going to start chipping in a little more.
Well, I understand that. I've been buying for 30. Well, actually, we bought them before we got married. Been buying for 40 years.
Yeah.
Why would I ever give that up?
That's right.
There
are some folks that might reach a point where they just can't afford to do that. As long as we can afford to, and people want to go, then we will.
Not to make this an economic show instead of a sports show, but it's like I feel like you're getting a return on your investment with those tickets, right? I feel like when people stop feeling like it's worth it, they'll bail out. But a lot of the power conference schools, not everyone in Division I, but a lot of the power conference schools, you give up your season tickets, there might be someone waiting to take them from you. Like there's a list at some of these places, especially at the highest level of Division I football right now. So that's a reason to think this could largely survive.
Well, and I think that for me, living 400 miles away, having the freedom to be able to get away. But when Cindy and I and the family come back, it's for us, it's more about people that we've known for a long, long time. I mean, Bill knew me when I had black hair instead of white and black hair. So it's he knew me when I had knees that came from my mom and dad instead of the ones that come from the titanium factory. So it's you get to be around people that you know and like and have loved over a long time. And the great thing about Auburn is we're a pretty strong alumni base.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to see people you went to school with. And I love every minute of that. So for me, people always – I got asked when we didn't have a very good season under Harsin, are you going to keep buying tickets? And I always think that's the dumbest question you could ever ask somebody like me. The answer is yes. It's more than just the wins and losses. Now, don't get me wrong, I love to win, and I really enjoyed 2010, and I really enjoyed Glendale, but I'm still not going to stop buying tickets if we're not in the championship game. But it will be definitely passed down to us. I don't know if I'll be giving away a whole lot of tickets anymore, Bill.
Yeah, I understand.
<Or Dan>.
Yep.
So I would probably ask for some kind of donation, but looking forward to it. And thanks for the time today. Y'all have a great Memorial Day weekend. My dad didn't lose his life, but he did do 3 tours of combat in Vietnam and 1 in South Korea. So I spent many a time at a funeral of people that he had served with.
Right.
So, but it's time to honor. Enjoy yourself, but remember what Monday's about.
Absolutely.
All right, guys. We'll talk to you later.
Great stuff, Tex. Have a great weekend.
You too.
334-321-1390.
We got to take a break. We got Ed hanging on. Ed's been hanging on for a little while. You want to try to get
let's
Ed
go ahead
in?
And get yeah, to yeah, Ed. That's right.
Let's get Ed in. I don't want to shortchange him.
No.
Ed, how you doing, man?
Hey, I'm doing all right. I would have been happy to wait, but anyway, I'll try to make it quick. One thing, real quick.
Hey, we're the only ones in the building. We can run this thing however
the
we want.
The boss is on vacation, and we've gone crazy.
That's right.
All right. Yeah, you. First off, you know, we've talked about music, you know, several times on here. You were talking about war and then summertime. And, you know, they had a really good kind of a laid-back song, Summertime.
Yeah, summer.
Summertime is here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It, you remember also Eric Burden from the Animals sung that
Spill
song.
The wine.
Spill the Wine with them.
Yeah, oh, yes. Yeah. That was actually, that was sort of their big break. When Eric Burden got with War, yeah, they hadn't come along with their own stuff at that point.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, as someone who is too young to, I did not live through War's prime, but I can tell you if you're trying to evoke that era in movies or in TV or something, War is one of the bands that you go to provide the soundtrack, right? Like the Cisco Kid will put
LA,
you back.
LA, I'm thinking, you know, LA in the 70s.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That can it's music that can evoke.
And that ain't Lower Alabama I'm talking
about.
It can evoke
a time period and a whole way of life.
And they had some real good, there was, you know, a lot of slow music, you know. Lotus Blossom was a really good song of theirs, and just I loved them. But what
the
was
the world is start, a ghetto?
Don't you know that it's true?
Yeah. So how about slipping into darkness is one of my.
Slipping
I mean, there's one that really is sort of obscure now. It's a great song.
Well. And then Me and Baby Brother, you know, that was another good.
Oh,
one.
Oh yeah.
But. I was going to tell you, you were talking about this settlement, and I was reading something. I think I got it off AL.com, but it was an AP article. And they went in depth on the numbers, and they said that this $2.8 billion is going to be, you know, after the lawyers or whatever, it's going to be divided up amongst 14,000 kids.
Right.
So I think if my math is right, that's like 200,000. So that would be like 20,000 a year for 10 years. But like you said, as far as star power, I don't know how they're going to do it. That's just.
Yeah, that would be the average, but you know everybody's not going to get the same amount.
Yeah, I imagine the part of the settlement involves, and someone, my guess would be that the NCAA and the power conferences, the folks on the hook for the settlement, are also going to be on the hook for paying the people to figure out how this settlement is dispersed. Like, and maybe that comes from the settlement itself. I don't know, but that's going to be, you know, we were saying at the beginning of the show, Ed, it's going to be a complicated. I mean, there are class action there are class action lawsuits that involve. I was involved in the BP oil spill in you know, I was not involved in the actual spill, but I was down there I was not there on the Deepwater Horizon when the pipe blew, but I was there in Destin that summer, and I mean there were all these different factors in figuring out your economic harm from the spill and how much money you were and you know they had and I imagine it's going to be something like that, figuring out a lot of different factors: the sport you played, what kind of recruit you were, how many years in the window we're talking about, how you played,
what honors you received.
Where,
I mean,
you know, where you played, you know, there's a lot
crazy.
Of different factors that are going to, you know, that'll ultimately, you know, student athlete gets an offer, and it's, I guess it's take it or leave it, and then it's like, do you want to reject this offer and try to earn money? You know, I don't know exactly what the path would be then.
And I saw something else, too, in that same article, and you probably read the same article I did, but it said something about that this would, with this settlement, that it would prohibit any more lawsuits coming against the NCAA
that's their hope.
That's the reason they signed the settlement is thinking that it would shield them, thinking it would shield them from future lawsuits. Like that's one of the reasons they were willing to settle instead of taking the thing to trial. On top of the fact they could lose in trial, and losing in trial would have seemingly bankrupted the NCAA and a lot of the member conferences.
Yeah, but, you know, and I know y'all are like me, it'll surprise me if someone else doesn't try to sue them again. Now, they might not be successful, but, I mean, you know how that goes. Anyway, guys, War Eagle, and I appreciate listening to you, and y'all have a great day.
Great stuff, Ed. Happy Memorial Day. Yeah, we'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Yeah, we're a little late, but so what? It's laid back. It's the start of a long weekend. We'd love for you to join us.
We're riding low.
That's right. That's some great music. It really is. All right. We'll be right back here on The Drive.
Experience and knowledge from the pros. Russell DeWitt Center at Building Supply.
Russell Building Supply is your hometown home improvement store. You'll find what you need when you need it. And as a Russell Rewards member, you'll be in the know about monthly specials and exclusive offers. Russell Building Supply, East University in Auburn, across from Cary Creek Publix.
Friday afternoon again, the Memorial Day weekend edition of The Drive. We're back on Tuesday. No show on Monday. Everybody here at the Auburn Network getting the day off on Monday for Memorial Day. We'll be back on Tuesday, and we're coming to you from Franklin Tire when we come back on Tuesday.
Yeah.
So, you know, speaking of Franklin, I mean, hopefully you've got your – hopefully you have your vehicles. If you're traveling somewhere, you know, hopefully everything's good to go. If you've got some other trips planned, we'll talk about it on Tuesday, but, I mean, you definitely want to get them to check everything out.
Don't roll the dice with the tires.
No.
Or if that noise it's been making, right? Or I've had, I've had car trouble pop up on road trips before, Bill.
Oh, yeah,
and that's
me
not
too.
A pleasant.
No, it's not.
Because, especially if it's already sort of a busy or like a loaded slate of things to do, you know, you don't want to be delayed or have the whole thing disrupted because you couldn't get there in the first place. And so, yeah, make sure you take the time to have the vehicle fully operational before you take a trip this weekend. We'll be at Franklin Tuesday.
All right, I was just looking just in case. You know, we were talking about War and what the rest of their band
and what
is now,
it, what, Lowrider. And what it's good for?
Well, no, they didn't do that one. that was Arthur Brown.
It could have been a War song.
It should have been.
Should have been, yeah. Why Can't We Be Friends?
It was a perfect one from War. But I was just looking at seeing where the band is playing. Not going to be able to see them, I don't think, here anytime soon, because I see some shows that appear to be like in France, the UK. So I don't know that they're playing anywhere locally.
This is in the immediate future. This is Lowrider Band, the original core surviving members of War, in a group that they now travel as.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, yeah, we're talking about the settlement. What is next in college athletics? We're also taking if you want to give us your some highlights from your favorite summer or what could make this a great summer for you. Now, the one that comes to mind for me, Dan, is way back after my junior year when I went home and a group of guys that I'd known for a while had started a band and asked me if I wanted to try to front them and sing and play a little bit of keyboard. And That was a very fun summer.
Did you do that for a summer and then go back to school?
Did it for a couple of summers.
Okay.
And I mean, we had seemed like we changed names about once a month with the band. We couldn't find a good name.
Do you know what any of the guys from the band are up to now? Like, do you know
one?
Are they all alive?
One.
Are most of them alive? Yeah.
Our lead guitar player is last time I saw him. Was a preacher here in this area. I don't know what happened. I don't know what became of a couple of the other guys in the band. I mean, they didn't stick with music. I don't think any of us stuck with music long time.
40 or 50 years later.
Yeah, 40 years later, let's half century later, let's check back and
play,
see what happened to the band.
Play at one of your son's weddings.
I mean, it was really cool. I mean, it was really fun doing that, and we played at the Naval Air Station in Pensacola. We played, you know, just little places in Southwest Alabama, Northwest Florida, for a couple of summers. It was a lot of fun.
You know, I worked so many summers.
Didn't make much money at all doing it.
I mean, especially once I got to like preteen, you know, teenage years. Like I was working so many summers in a row down in Destin, either helping out with, you know, the beach chair jobs or working at the radio station. It was like when I finally had.
We could do best or worst summer jobs that you've had.
When I finally had, oh boy, I could go there.
I've got some wide ranging summer jobs.
When I finally had a summer where it was a little bit more like time to myself and stuff, it was nice. But you go stir crazy. I imagine it's a little bit like retirement, where it's like I should be doing something right now. I should be up to something. But so it was. What stands out to you?
I didn't have many summer jobs where that was the case.
What stands out to you as a best or worst summer job?
All right, I'll give you a few of them. I worked and got on as a welder's helper when the pipeline was being put in Northwest Florida.
Wow.
And spent the summer with Charlie Duplashane, who was from Lake Charles. Came in, I could understand him. I mean, he was Cajun as they come.
What's a welder's helper doing?
I basically is cleaning the weld. Okay. You know, you're cleaning the crust off the weld, checking the weld, making sure he's got all the equipment. Look, I had taken my freshman year in lab. I took a welding had a welding was part of something in a lab. So I said yes, I'd had experience when they asked. When we're lined up at 6 o'clock in the morning and we're all about to go out, and most of the guys were going to go out and help dig the ditches, they said, "Has anyone ever been done any welding?" And I raised my hand because I'd done like one class in a lab. I'd done a little bit,
nice.
So I at least knew what an arc was, and I had an idea. And Charlie was a great guy. That turned out to be a pretty good summer job. It was pretty decent pay, and we'd check in, we'd leave the yard at about right at 7 o'clock, and he was a little better than some of the welders who would go out in a group and would be coming in as they were putting the pipe in. There would be a group of welders that would be welding. Charlie was a guy that would go out and check when there'd been a possible leak or a weak spot in a weld. He was the guy that would go out and fix it. So we were sort of on our own. And the first thing he would do is he'd stop at one of the local establishments and fill his ice chest. And then we'd stop and have breakfast for a while. And then we'd make it out to the sites at around 9. And I thought, gee, this is pretty good. And he'd work, he'd check the welds. We'd take about an hour and a half to 2 hour lunch. And then we'd go back out, work till around 3. He'd usually stop at an establishment on the way back in, and we'd make it in after 5. So we'd get our full 8 hours. And we worked maybe 4 or 5. So that was a pretty good summer job.
Yeah, I mean that's one thing observing a lot of these jobs. I was shocked at like how people fill an 8 hour work day.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes. Yeah. But it was The one that stands out would be in Destin. There used to be a little poolside restaurant on the Sandestin Resort by the Hilton. There used to be a little restaurant called Finn's. There used to be a little poolside.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Used to be a little poolside snack bar. And depending on what job you were tasked with doing in the snack bar, which could vary day to day, it was either a great job because you were sort of laid back there pouring drinks for people and taking orders, or you were the one guy preparing all the food in the little kitchen that they had back. I mean, and that was it was Gordon Ramsay-esque pressure to keep up with those orders.
Sure.
with the fryers and the conveyor belt spitting out the hamburgers and it's like a Marx Brothers movie when it would get really, really busy. I mean, everything would be going in every direction, and also as you might imagine, warm in there too, you know, adding to some of the pressure. But it was fun. But when it got busy, that was you know, as challenging as anything I've ever been tasked with.
All right, we need to get to our final break of hour number one. Yeah, I think this one would be fun. Give us your best. I mean, if you've, of course, maybe many of our listeners never had to work summers. I sort of doubt that. Give us some of your favorite. I don't think we've ever done summer jobs before. Give us your best or worst summer job as we continue here on the Friday edition of The Drive. For the hour. That worked out perfectly, Dan. Good timing. Good job of back timing.
Remember when we used to do that?
Back timing. I used to love to see if you get something to a cold end, bam, legal ID rolls. We go to the top of the hour. All right, no, nothing like that anymore. But we are halfway done.
When the songs, people don't realize. The song that we used to know exactly how many seconds before the guy would start singing.
That's
right.
Absolutely. You know the intro. Had to have it on either the cart or the CD or the back in the day, even on the single. All right. We need to get to our top of the hour break. I think we've got Yellowhammer hanging on. We will get with him when we come back. Love for you to join in hour number two of the Friday Drive.
At Dixie Electric Plumbing and Air, your comfort is...
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7.
And online at ESPNAU.com.
To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive. It is hour number two here on this Friday afternoon with Bill and Dan. Drew, under the weather, he is out today, and we will be out Monday. No show on Memorial Day.
All the best to our guy, Drew. Feel better. The rhythm section, the silent third part of the foundation. The rhythm,
yeah, and when we ask him a question, Ringo, he'll answer, but he never turns his mic on.
Ringo, you know, forehand. That?
Yeah.
Have you watched the redid? What's the movie? So there's Get Back is the documentary, but then what was the movie that they made at the same time that it was the documentary? Is that Let It Be?
Let It Be.
Yeah, okay, so they just re-released Let It Be and remastered and stuff. I haven't watched that yet. I think that's on Disney Plus.
It's great.
Get Back's one of the best things.
Oh, it really is.
Get Back's one of the great. One of the great.
Well, because you see the magic happening. You see them as they're just here's the different takes and the stuff that's going on.
If the only thing Peter Jackson ever did was Get Back, it'd be like what a masterpiece from a. It's like he also did the Lord of the Rings movies.
Yeah.
It's like the same guy did the Lord of the Rings trilogy 20 years ago. What a talent! But yeah, those are incredible. I've got Furiosa and. The Beatles thing, let it be on my list this weekend.
Yeah, that is one of the better things about most summers is that there are usually some things to watch. We've been talking about summers. I tossed out your favorite summers.
Ferg saw Furiosa.
Oh yeah,
this morning. Yeah, apparently rave reviews.
I've seen all the Mad Max movies. I will see this one.
Do you remember seeing the original?
Mad Max
was the original. Would the original have been with theatrical thing? Was it like? Because I feel like, or did that
what do you
get
mean,
to
theatrical
you?
Thing?
Like, did
oh no no, no I saw it. No, I saw it. I saw it on TV.
Yeah, years later probably. I mean, because I don't know.
It didn't seem like it was that many years later. I may have seen it on the old HBO years ago.
And then you got Road Warrior, which would have been two. And then Warrior, I think, was when folks started to. And then it's a. It's
crazy stuff.
I dig that they don't get bogged down in the lore of the
series. Yeah, you're right.
Let's have some fun. I don't know if these movies. I don't know how connected they are.
Yeah,
to one another.
If you're trying to fit them all together, it's like sometimes that's just enjoy. Just
loose.
Try to hang on.
And some series get so bogged down in that, right? It's all about the mythology and the lore, and it's like I don't care.
These movies aren't about.
Yeah, I don't care about Optimus Prime's parents or whatever, you know, whatever you're trying to sell me there. But with Mad Max now, it's not about that. It's about a race during the apocalypse.
It is a
baby.
Wild ride, man. That's what it is. No question about it. All right, so we were talking in hour number one about the settlement that's been reached, which will should stop the House versus NCAA suit. Federal judge. Has to have the approval, get the approval from the federal judge on that. We've also been talking some fun summer stuff. Best or sometimes maybe the other end of the spectrum, summer jobs. Have we still got Yellowhammer hanging on? Let's get to Yellowhammer to get things started here for hour number two. Hey, Yellowhammer.
Hey, afternoon. So, yeah, your story about being a welder's helper made me relive way back when I worked down in Venice, Louisiana. The road ended there, broke into marsh, and broke into the Gulf of Mexico.
Uh-huh.
A big loading dock there for the oil rigs.
Oh, man, that was back in the day when, hey, really, really get paid well, but you generally had to work. I mean,
oh, it was hard. But anyway, they had the loading dock, and so these giant speedboats would come flying in and out, and we'd load those up. And sometimes there'd be barges, and we'd put drill casing on that. And we had a heliport for medevac and all that stuff. And so it was just load, 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 all the time load. And but the thing that was good was they had one heck of a cafeteria. They had everything you could ever want, and the cooks were fantastic. And it was like, every meal was a dream. It was amazing.
Well, that's good. That's a nice perk.
Oh yeah. Otherwise, we did work 12 hours days, so that was rough. And then you'd be like 2 weeks on and 1 week off. I worked 2 weeks and then I took off and never came back.
It was two weeks on and then off. Period.
I was off completely. Yes.
That's good.
Okay. Well, thanks.
Appreciate it, Yellowhammer. All right, and we'd love for you to join in. You can give us a call on the Drive Hotline, 334-321-1390. That's sponsored by Skybar. You can also text us on the Drive text box, which is presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, 334-564-1840. As we're just underway here in the second hour of the show, brought to you by the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika. On the web at orthoclinic.com. I don't know if it was more for us way back in the day, but it seemed like a lot of folks, I know I was, would have completely different jobs from summer to summer, just depending on what was available. I still did radio. I mean, I did radio. I got my FCC license when I turned 16, back when you used to have to take the third-class test.
Growing up in a place where there was a lot of tourism in the spring and summer, it would always just sort of be a mad scramble for restaurant jobs or hotel jobs, mm-hmm. or really anything that could allow you to...
You ever a lifeguard?
I was never a lifeguard. I worked other poolside jobs. I cleaned pools in the neighborhood just for summer.
I didn't know you could do that. I could have called on you to help.
I wasn't great at it, but I was, you know, it was me and a couple of neighborhood kids, you know, did that early on, you know, for folks who didn't want to, you know, and I wonder how much of it was more just, you know, if you said no to us, you know, you gotta face down dirty looks from the neighborhood kids or something. But
all right, we're taking your calls, 334-321-1390. Love for you to join in. Anything you want to add in. But as you can tell, I mean, it's sort of a summary type mood that we have here this afternoon. And let's get back to the phones. Who we got up next, Dan?
We got Mitch up first.
Hey, Mitch.
Hey guys, wanted to ask Dan, this place, Finn, in the Sandestin area there next to the Hilton, was there a larger restaurant next to it called the Beach House?
So Finn's was the one, if you went sort of all the way back Bayside in the, or no, Gulfside. If you went all the way back Gulfside in the Sandestin Resort, eventually you'd hit that Hilton, and Finn's was... It was the restaurant in the ground floor. I'm sure it's changed by now, but it was the restaurant in the ground floor of the Hilton.
Oh, at the Hilton. Okay,
I think it might have had its own building, but it was in that complex.
Okay, because the Beach House is a restaurant that I take care of in Sandestin, and they have a pool right outside, and there's like a little snack bar. So when you said that, I was like, But anyway, okay, maybe it's further.
I think the snack bar I'm talking about was almost assuredly condemned. If Florida, I mean, if Florida has a health department, this thing's been shut down, you know, since I left.
Okay. All right. Well, you were just talking about an area I'm sort of familiar with, so I was just curious. But
Mitch, what was your best summer job?
My best summer job,
or your worst?
Let's see. Probably my best was working with a buddy of mine who actually I've known since the fourth grade, who's now my branch manager for the job I have now. I worked for him, his cleaning business, when he had one in Auburn. Was probably my best because he was the kind, you know, sort of like you were saying, Bill, earlier, you know, we'd go work a few hours and we'd go, you know, go to the store and fill up the cooler and we'd work a little bit more and, you know, we'd knock off. So, yeah, that was probably my best summer job. My favorite summer was probably the summer of 89, a year after my graduation. Used to hang out with some buddies from high school that were going to school at Auburn. We used to go up to, before the aquatic center was built, we'd go up to freshman orientation and they would, you know, they would have bands and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And, I think Driving and Crying actually played one of Auburn's freshman orientations in the late 80s. So that was a fun summer. I mean, we used to hang out and play cards and just do all kinds of crazy things, you know, before the internet and cell phones. So that was probably my favorite one, was 89. And I guess my worst one was probably when I had to work construction, even though it was good for coming back playing sports in high school, because I actually got stronger lifting cinder blocks and bricks and boards and all that stuff. I didn't have to go to the gym at all.
Yeah, but while it was going on, it wasn't that much fun.
No, it was not. And it's hot in the summertime outside in Alabama. So, but that was probably the worst with construction. But it's actually funny. A girl I went to high school with, we went to a party because her parents were gone. We're talking about late 80s, early 90s. And I walked into the house and it's like, you know, I helped build this house. Huh. I actually helped build her house. And so that was kind of funny. And it's over there close to where the Publix is, close to Donahue and I guess, anyway, that neighborhood over in there.
Mm-hmm.
But last thing.
Mitch, I want to get back to Mitch, let's get back to the restaurant thing for a second, because I think it might actually be the location that you were talking about, the beach house now, because it was Elephant Walk for a long time, and then it became Finn's, and then I want to think it went back to be an Elephant Walk, but it might be the beach house now is the one that you're talking about. And they had I'm sure it's been extensively remodeled, if they still have, because there was a poolside, there was like one that was very close to the pool, and then one that sort of connected to the kitchen, where you could cook more food and stuff. But it was that's the location.
Oh, okay, all right. Well, that's cool. Well, since we got back on food, I was curious what you guys, you know, gonna do cooking wise for Memorial Day. I always cook on Sunday. I don't usually cook on Monday, but I cook on Sunday. You guys got anything special you do for Memorial Day when it comes to?
Oh, it's ribs. It's ribs.
Well, let me ask, probably
Sunday as well.
Let me ask you, Mitch, it was something that came up towards the end of the Observer podcast last night, and Bill, of ribs is a solid answer, where it's like if a protein is being thrown on the grill, what do you want it to be? Like what's the answer here for like the and there, you
well,
know,
it just depends on how long. See, I've got a bunch of charcoal, so it depends on how long the coals are going.
But
because,
like,
there'll probably be some burgers as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, okay. Burgers a great answer.
Funny. I spent a summer in Pennsylvania. A good friend of mine was from Philly, and he and I and another friend of ours from El Paso spent a summer there because he said he could get us great paying jobs, and they turned out to be pretty well paying, working moving furniture for Beacons and then North American Van Lines.
I've heard this story, but go ahead.
Yeah, well, no, I'm not going to talk. I wasn't going to get into that one, but I was going to say what was interesting up there is I found out everybody in that area, and I don't know if it's everybody in the Northeast, would talk about barbecue, and all they meant by barbecuing was throwing something on the grill. I mean, hamburgers and hot dogs on the grill, they called barbecue. And it's like, that's not barbecue. That's just grill.
No. Yeah. 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 Yeah, barbecuing is low and slow. Well, for me, I'm doing a rack of St. Louis ribs, some baby back. I got lazy. I bought coleslaw and potato salad, but I'll probably do some baked beans and some leg quarters. But yeah, with me, if it's low and slow, it's ribs and Boston butt. And if it's direct, what I call direct heat, it's usually steak or burgers.
Yeah, but, there you go.
I got pretty good at tri-tip when I was on the West Coast. You know, I did flank steak or some skirt. You know, nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. I would throw. Like I mean, I love some barbecue chicken. Like it's about like well, you know, quarter.
I'll leave that
quarter.
To Floyd.
Yeah, Floyd knows what he's doing. Don Dunn knows that. Yeah. knows what he's doing out there too. And you know, the other question was, so if it's a burger at a cookout, Mitch, I want Bill's answer too. You know, with or without cheese, you can make your choice. If you got the little platter over there, lettuce, tomato, onion, pickle, ketchup, mayo, mustard. How many of those seven are going on the Mitch burger, and how many of those seven are going on the Bill Cameron burger?
You're not including cheese.
You with or without cheese, you can make a choice there, and then you got seven.
I'm a much plainer guy.
You want any of those seven?
Oh yeah.
Who's making the cut?
I'm a ketchup first guy.
Okay.
I mean, and that's where I mean in my barbecue things, I'm more the tomato base than I am the mustard base.
All right.
So I'm ketchup, lettuce, tomatoes, fine.
Onion pickle, anything?
I like pickles. I don't like pickles on things.
Yeah.
I mean,
okay.
I'm probably rather odd about that.
I
but
think
I
it's
mean,
all you get. If you get a bite of a pickle on a burger, you just taste mostly
that,
pickle.
Yeah. To me, I lose some of the flavor. I've never understood why. Some places have to have that pickle on.
You know, a little bit of Heinz 57 maybe for Jimmy.
Oh, sure.
For Jimmy.
Yeah, that's you know, that's fine.
A little bit of that.
Well, for me, Dan, it's everything because I'm kind of partial to the Whopper. So the only thing I would cut would be mustard. Now, if I'm doing like a double cheeseburger, I'll do, you know, cheese, ketchup, mustard, and pickles. Mm-hmm. But if I'm doing, you know, the lettuce, tomato, onions, pickles, it's just mayonnaise and ketchup because it kind of makes the sauce when they mix together.
True.
So no mustard.
I'm not really a yellow mustard guy in general. I don't mind a little dash of it on a burger.
I'm much more a brown mustard than
yellow mustard is generally, you know, not something that I want added mm-hmm. to anything I'm going to eat. But a little bit of it on a cheeseburger is okay by me.
Okay, and one thing for Bill, since he does ribs now, Bill, I do my ribs. Now I've got an electric smoker and I've got a Weber kettle grill. Have you ever done the what they call the snake?
No.
With the charcoal to cook low and slow.
No, tell me.
Okay, well, what you do is you.
We need Don here too, so he could be chiming in with his
but Don,
his thing.
Don probably knows.
I'm sure he does.
Don probably shot his radio like Elvis hearing you talk about the snake charcoal trick here. Let's find out.
Yeah, I got to hear this.
But what you do is like in a Weber kettle, it's round, obviously, and mm-hmm. and you make it's two briquettes high, but it's too wide and too high, and you line it all the way around the inside of the grill,
mm-hmm.
and you put a pan in the middle. And what you do is you start some coals and you put wood chunks, you know, at different, you know, on the top of the charcoal so they smoke, you know, you kind of space them out, is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
And then you light them, then you light the end of it. And once it gets going, it'll slowly burn the charcoal around,
right.
You know, the snake, and it'll keep your grill between like 225 and 275.
Hmm.
So you don't have to like add coals or anything
right.
like that.
It's a heat transfer trick, is
yeah.
what it is to you know to try to keep
yeah.
to try to keep things from staying low.
Yeah, that's just Don. Don goes, we're killing him. Hey Don, you know the number.
Love you, Coach.
Yep.
But yeah, you might want. I mean, I'm sure you can Google charcoal snake and it'll explain all that stuff, but it's I mean if you like to cook with charcoal because it's hard to you know to keep that
oh yeah
low and slow
try to keep things even yeah
yeah, you know, I mean, trying to cook indirectly, you know, putting the charcoal on one side and the meat on the other side, because you always have to add coals. This way, you don't have to add coals. You don't have to open up the lid, keep the heat in, and all that stuff. So, all right, guys. Well,
man, I'm so hungry now. All right, we got to go, Mitch. Yeah, we need to get to our first break of hour number two.
We got Bill hanging on when we come back from the break.
And yeah, we'd love for you to join in 334-321-1390 here on the Friday Drive. Welcome back into the drive here on this Friday afternoon. I think we lost Bill. Bill, if you get a chance, give us a call back, 334-321-1390. Anything you want to talk about? Hey, we might as well hit a couple of sports notes. I've seen reported in a couple of places.
That's our job.
It's been reported in a couple of places. I saw J.G. Tate writing that Auburn looks to be in good position to land Miles Kelly, who we were just talking about a little bit yesterday with Justin Ferguson here, a wing from Georgia Tech, 6'6", averaged just under 14 points, 5.5 rebounds a game, 42% from the floor, 32% from three. Didn't have a great year last year, but, I mean, he's a guy that would be a nice addition if Auburn could add him in. He's a guy that's played the two and the three, sort of as we talked. Would then you'd expect Denver Jones to get some work at the point and Tahad Pettiford to get some of the work at the point as well.
Kelly was the number 102 overall player in the class of 2021.
Yep.
He was leading scorer for Georgia Tech last season, averaging just under 14 points per game, 6'5", 6'6", and would be an experienced wing to add to the team. He declared for the draft and the transfer portal back in April, you're declaring for the draft while retaining his college eligibility, and he could, end up being the final piece of this roster for Auburn.
That would be interesting. Now, like I said, he had a better year as a sophomore statistically when he shot 45% from the floor, 38% from three, and 93% at the free throw line. So it'll be interesting, but. JG of AuburnSports.com, the man there at AuburnSports.com, says Auburn appears to be in good position to land him.
95 career games for Georgia Tech. Damon Stoudemire, longtime NBA player, now the head coach at Georgia Tech. They've talked about Damon Stoudemire, I guess, during the season. Talked about the possibility of Kelly leaving after the season was over and said some things when the season was over as well. After a game this past year, quote, I've tried to teach him how to play the right way. With playing the right way, sometimes that may mean not forcing things. Sometimes we get enamored with scoring buckets and different things. But, man, you got to learn how to play the game. I think he's done a really good job of buying into that. Whatever happens to him when he leaves Georgia Tech, he's going to be better off for it. When he leaves here, he's going to have to know how to play with other players that are really good. It won't always be like this for him. I think that's what he's learning. He's processing every day. He's evolving, unquote. That's his coach talking about, you know, the possibility. And that's college basketball, right?
And one of the things I read about him is that he really improved defensively this past year. That's something that is a must for Bruce Pearl.
I wonder if his numbers took a hit this past, and there's a little bit of that in Damon Stoudemire's quote, that mm-hmm. one of the reasons his numbers took a hit this year is because he had to be the guy offensively so many times for Georgia Tech. Had a couple of 30-point games in conference play this year. Granted, they were against the bottom of the conference, but still, I mean, Louisville. It's remarkable the hard times that the Louisville basketball programs hit in the last couple of seasons. Maybe with the new coach, they can turn it around. But it would be a really nice pickup to shore up things in the backcourt beyond JP, Denver, and the freshman Tahad Pettiford, all of whom could play a role, but you're still thinking, I mean, that it's you're really relying on all three of them to be available a lot and be effective if they're the only three taking up minutes at the one and the two.
So that's one bit of news. Meanwhile, the Auburn men's golf team competing out at the NCAA championships in Carlsbad, California, and again, the goal is after a couple of rounds to be in the you want to make the top 15 and then the top 8, and that gets you in match play. Right now, Auburn is playing holes 9 through 12, and they are tied for 10th. And that would put them two shots out of the top eight right now. But, I mean, the first thing is the cut gets to 15, then the cut gets to 8. So Auburn okay thus far. They're plus 4 as they play holes 9 through 12. So that's the way things are shaping up right now with the men's NCAA golf championship in Carlsbad. Why don't we get to our bottom of the hour break? Again, we'd love for you to join in. Anything on your mind sports-wise, you know, summer jobs, best, worst, some summer memories as we are about to welcome in the unofficial start of spring with Memorial Day on Monday.
On ESPN 106.7
and online at ESPNAU.com.
To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Friday afternoon. Bill and Dan here in the studio. Drew with the afternoon off, not feeling his best. So hopefully he's back with us on Tuesday. Again, no Drive on Monday. And we're back Tuesday, and we will be coming to you from Franklin Tire on the Tuesday edition of The Drive. I assume Tennessee. All right, Alabama was shutting out Tennessee and going to the sixth inning in the softball super regional. And then Tennessee came back with three. And when I looked up, there were two outs in the seventh inning. Tennessee an out away from beating Alabama there in the super regional, and I assume that's what happened because it got over quickly. But we'll update you on that after we get back to the phone.
And we've I should turn my mic on. We've got Jerry hanging on. What's up, Jerry?
Hey, Jerry.
Hey guys, hope y'all have a great Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah, you too.
Just a quick question. You know, the Braves are playing the Pirates this weekend, and I just wondered if I'm going to get to see Skeen pitch.
No, the Braves miss him this weekend. You may get to see their other rookie, Jared Jones. I think he may be going on Sunday, but no, Skeens is working on that strict 5-day plan, so the Braves miss Skeens.
Well, that might not be a bad thing.
No, no kidding.
All right, y'all have a great weekend.
Appreciate it, Jerry. Yeah, Skeen's not as dominant, but I mean, apparently without his best stuff, I mean, he still gave up what, 1 run and 6 the other day.
I mean, he's
only struck out 3.
Outstanding start to his career. A guy that is the most highly touted collegiate pitching prospect since Steven Strasburg.
Yeah, no question.
And one of the top collegiate pitchers ever coming out to the Major League Baseball draft, not very long at all before he's in the May. Was it just last summer he was drafted?
Yes. This is his first full year in professional ball.
Yeah, and it didn't take long at all for him to not just make his way to the majors, but establish himself as one of the most dangerous pitchers in and we're seeing that. I mean, we've seen more with pitchers than hitters lately. You know, guys being able to come up, although staying healthy has been the adventure for a lot of these highly regarded young pitchers coming up. I mean, Gunnar Henderson would probably be the exception as a young hitter who came up and asserted himself immediately into the discussion to be one of the best at his position in the sport right now. For a lot of these other younger, I mean, we're talking about the reasons why, or was it last week? I think when we were like, oh yeah, you know, they're not as focused on team results in the minors. It's more about pitchers working on the process and trying to get better with their individual stuff. And there's a big jump from the kind of pitching you see in AAA versus the kind of pitching you see in the majors. It's been tough for a lot of young hitters. Gunnar Henderson's made that adjustment. But for young pitchers, I mean, we've seen just a couple of them on the Pirates come up and immediately, show that they're tough to hit no matter who you are.
And speaking of the Braves, I just saw where Austin Riley may be back Monday. Intercostal strain. So he's got a pull on the side, but it's really odd that
they spent every day thinking it might get better tomorrow.
Yeah, they were like, oh, he won't need to go on the injured list. They said 2 weeks ago. He's missed 11 games and looks like he's going to miss the weekend as well. So he will have been out 2 weeks by the time he gets back in, if he's able to play on Monday. And the Braves never put him on the 10-day injured list, which, I mean, has made the Braves play short. And literally, they played Nick Short, was the guy who was playing third base most of the time.
Is there somebody in the minors that they would be I don't know if there's an option they're eager to give at-bats to.
Not. I mean, so like I said, Nick Short got most of the at-bats there at third base. But
they called up Smith Shawver.
They did. He pitched 3-plus innings. Was it maybe 4 innings? And goes down with an injury. What's the injury for him?
He has a strained left oblique muscle and will be placed on the IL.
Speaking of the side,
Ray Kerr has been recalled.
He's been up and down.
And he's starting tonight's game against
Pittsburgh.
I think
it's going to be a bullpen, one of those bullpen. Or he's starting and they're going to then go with somebody for, what do they call it? The
opener?
What do they call the next guy that comes in and does
the follower or whatever?
The guy that's going to come in and get the bulk.
Substitute teacher?
Whatever. They have a term.
Next man up.
It's not bulk. It's the whatever. The guy that comes in is supposed to throw the most innings, but he's not going to start.
Joey Wendell also signed by the Braves.
Yeah, I think that's a good move. Yeah. Now, there's a guy that could have been a third base, could have been playing for him at third base if they'd had him.
If the Austin Riley injury is more serious, then Joey Wendell might be somebody getting some at-bats in that situation.
I'm just wondering, is it something where Austin in his contract's like, well, I lose money if I go on the injured list or something? Because it's crazy that a guy misses that much time without going on the injured list. Problem that you have once you get a few days into it is you can only backdate the injured list 3 days. So if you go on the injured list, you're going to have to miss 7 days from that point on, since you can only backdate it 3 days.
Wendell, a career .262 hitter.
Speed.
The 667 games, played for the A's, played for the Marlins, was released by the Mets. Doesn't wear batting gloves. I always noticed that.
I didn't realize that.
I don't think there are very many major leaguers at all.
No, there aren't.
Who are going up there barehanded.
They don't do the old Moises Alou
deal. Joey Wendell rocking the bear hands there on the in the box.
Alabama, by the way, Tennessee did come back and beat Alabama. Tennessee, the number 3 team in the nation and the higher seed there in the Super Regional. Alabama had a 2-0 lead on them, but Tennessee comes back and wins 3-2. 334-321-1390. I'm surprised. I mean, I guess a lot of folks are either on the road or gone for Memorial Day.
If you're looking for sports tonight, I mean, this Mavericks.
What do we got?
Mavericks Timberwolves game two
game
is tonight.
Two.
And feels like a must win for Minnesota after dropping
game
one.
Oh, it absolutely does.
Luka is
even on two zip.
And the display of shot making from guys like, I mean, Luka and Kyrie has his moments where you remember, how special he is. Anthony Edwards is going to be a star for a very long time. Carl Anthony Edwards. I mean, this is a Carl Anthony Towns. Like, this is Carl Anthony Edwards. Carl Anthony Towns, but it's a. I mean, they've
could
got,
be Anthony's first name. I don't know. Could be Carl, I don't think so. But
I still think of the doctor from ER.
Yeah,
I talk about Anthony Edwards, but it's also pretty prominent. Anthony Edwards now playing for the Timberwolves. But no, that this should be a really exciting game too. These Minnesota crowds have been. I mean, look, they've never been to the finals before. The team's been around 30 years. No trips to Western Conference championships to speak of. They feel like they've got a chance to do it this year. There's going to be you don't see. I mean, occasionally you get the environment at a big time NBA game that can feel like a huge college matchup. You know, we talk about the biggest, most imposing atmospheres and frenzied college atmospheres, Cameron Indoor, Neville Arena, things like that. I think you could get some of that. It's going to feel like a big, feel like a really big game in Minnesota, because they lose tonight. There's no guarantee they're
getting
seeing,
back.
There's no guarantee they're seeing their team again this season. If they win tonight, they could feel like they have some of the momentum going to game three in Dallas. So even though it's a best of seven, a huge game two tonight. That one's on TNT just after 7 o'clock.
Yeah. So you're right. That is a huge game for the T-Wolves for sure. I'm looking at some more comments, getting back to what we had started talking about and some of the ramifications from the settlement and where things are headed. You know, again, the concern from folks about Title IX. I mean, is it, I am assuming, Dan, I haven't heard anything to the contrary, that the 20 or so million dollars that each school can distribute, I would guess that would have to be distributed fairly equally, wouldn't it? I mean, or at least female athletes getting as much as the male athletes. How does that? I mean,
I do wonder if it's unsettled legally between the difference between revenue sharing and the kind of benefits that are already required to be provided by Title IX. Because I don't know, Bill, if the revenue sharing is going to be distributed equally among male athletes. Like I don't know if baseball players and golfers and tennis players are going to be entitled to the same kind of revenue sharing as football players.
See, that's
and,
what,
and men's basketball players.
One of the things I was hearing when there was a discussion on this just today was that the feeling was that $20 million or whatever is just going to be base for everybody. That's the base. And then the NIL would be on top of it. So every athlete mm-hmm. who's on a roster would get base. Now, is that on top of everything they're getting now? Are they going to this is not assuming they're employees yet. If they're employees, would they then have subtracted from that their room and board and, you know, other things? I mean, there's so many questions that I have no idea what the answer is going to be.
I think there are other student employees who get what they get on top of their benefits, right? I mean, it's, you know, that can be a salary
if you're a temporary or a part-time.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder employee. If it would be. I mean, I think that I can't imagine the revenue sharing is intended to be a replacement for the scholarship.
I think some of the schools would love for it to be,
but I don't think that's. I mean,
I don't think that's the intent.
The schools that are going to try to win national championships in football and men's basketball, I don't think are trying because it's going to become like, are you, you know, it's a high stakes poker game, Bill. Like, do you have the money to sit at the table, or do you need to go sit at a smaller table? And I think mm-hmm. schools that would want
to
say,
we're going to go to the small Andy.
Yeah, you know what? If you want to. Use your revenue sharing in lieu of offering scholarships, you might not sit at the big table anymore.
You're probably right.
Because I think Ohio State and Alabama and Georgia and Michigan, like, so, but it is, your point about the revenue sharing one is an interesting one. Because I guess I was thinking they might use the same sort of algorithms that they're using to distribute the settlement money.
Well, if you're going to use that, you'd need to throw into the algorithm who's bringing the money in.
That's what I mean. Would they be factoring that in to decide, or is the revenue sharing
But that wouldn't work with Title IX.
Which makes me wonder if the more fair thing to do would be the revenue sharing would be distributed equally
right.
to every scholarship athlete. Every rostered athlete. And then the money on top of that would come from NIL.
That's the feeling that I have right now. I feel like that's the direction that we're headed. And that's great. That would be great for athletes because then you've got a boost, and then there's NIL.
It would be great although it could lead. I think the unintended consequence could be that could lead to schools deciding what sports they need to
fewer have sports, maybe smaller rosters.
Yes, that could absolutely be a trade-off because schools would say, "Well, we love having all these players, but if every single one of these players
right.
is now entitled to an amount, we might try to
do we really need yeah. that? You know that 85th football player? Do we
13th kid on the scholarship right. on the basketball team? Yeah." I think that's absolutely a concern.
Yeah, so keep an eye out for that. I mean, there will be, as I'm looking at ESPN saying, be ready for a few months of ambiguity and, you know, hazy situations because there's so much that has to be worked out in addition to just both sides agreeing to, that's great. Now, how's it going to be dispensed?
I'll tell you what, the folks that seem to be in a great spot would be if your college career is finished, and you played 4 or 5 years
yeah.
in the post 2016 era,
and you were a starter.
It's someone else's job now to figure out how much money
you're owed,
how big your check is.
Yeah.
Like that's the situation here. And meanwhile, you're continuing with whatever you're doing after your college career is over. If you're Jalen Williams, you're trying to pursue basketball wherever you're pursuing it after
5 years as a star for a marquee program.
You're going to be like Ken, who all of a sudden got his student loans absolved and got a nice check.
Yeah, Bo Nix might find his way. You know, suddenly getting a, you know, it could be a big although again he's doing fine with the first round pick money, but there could be another big check coming to Bo Nix.
I mean, I don't think he'll turn it down.
No, I think it. Yeah, I think he'll tell him where to send it.
Yeah, that's true. All right, 334-321-1390. We'll get to our final break of the week. Still time for you to join in here on the Friday Drive.
Hey, y'all. This is Jonathan from University Ace Hardware. Be sure to join us Saturday, May 25th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for our Stars and Stripes barbecue party. There will be a Traeger grill demo, outdoor power equipment demo, and yummy food samples. Bring the family by for a great day of food, demos, and fun with the University Ace family on May 25th, Stars and Stripes Barbecue Party. University Ace Hardware, located by the movie theater in Auburn.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
If you truly care about your feet and want to make them happy, check out Auburn's newest footwear experience, Love to Run. With the area's only pressure mapping system to analyze foot function, Love to Run identifies the perfect shoe for you. With brands like Ultra, Brooks, Hoka, they'll have your feet comfortably covered. So whether you're training for a marathon or just trekking through the marathon of life, Love to Run is ready to set the pace with you. 1957 East Sanford Avenue in Auburn.
At Reynolds Outdoors, they're all about hunting and fishing and loving the great outdoors every day. And if you are too, you'll love the great selection of guns and ammo, bows and arrows, rods and reels, gear and apparel. As an independent family business, Reynolds Outdoors can offer top brand names at hometown prices, plus friendly, local, expert service. So before you hit the woods, the field, or the water, head to Reynolds Outdoors on Geneva Street, Opelika, on Facebook and Instagram, and at reynoldsoutdoors.net.
I'm Jessica Samuel with Opelika Power Services. Opelika Power is committed to delivering the highest level of service and value to our customers. We are devoted to meeting the needs of our customers through safe, reliable, and affordable delivery of electricity to the home.
Welcome back. Final segment of The Drive here on this Friday. Been a fun show. We have gone in a bunch of different directions. I know we've circled back to the settlement there and the House versus NCAA lawsuit, but it's been fun. I mean, we've talked some summer jobs, summer, you know, just fun times, some grilling. I'm a little disappointed Don didn't call in and give us, you know, his thoughts on some of Mitch's things. Now, Don sent us a couple of notes.
Don did chime in and do want to extend, you know, our deepest appreciation to everyone who's served and of course
absolutely
and folks who gave their life
and paid the ultimate price. I mean, that's what Memorial Day is all about. I mean, enjoy it, but remember, you know, why we're observing.
Granddad passed away last year in 94. He flew in Vietnam, among other things, 36 years in the Air Force, retired as a major general. He was flying you can read about it's called the something chrome dome, and it's when they in the 60s and 70s, in the off chance that things in the Cold War heated up.
Mm-hmm.
We always
had. There was always a thought of that.
So there were always planes in the air ready to strike Russian military targets at if the light went off, and my granddad was doing that for a couple of years where he was flying through Europe and needed to be on alert in case things. Now, one of those planes crashed and we lost one of the nukes, but that's a separate story. You can read about that too. But that was not my granddad. Who did that one? But it's again, can't express our gratitude enough
absolutely. Dad was
folks in uniform.
Dad was with the Navy in World War II, and then he was a captain with likes after that. But I mean, absolutely. So yes, definitely keep that in mind.
He was the Monday. Granddad was the commandant at Maxwell too back in the day. He was also a thing that he did. So
you had two generations.
That's right. Yeah,
I did not know that. I knew about your dad.
Probably not a third one. We're probably
not coming from you. I mean, your brother's still got
brother's
a shot.
Brother's got a shot. Brother's still in the mix. But it's a very cool You know, very cool to see him, see his name on the wall there. You know, back in the day.
All right. So what have you got planned for Memorial Day? You've talked about, I mean, maybe catching a movie or two.
Yeah, we're gonna go visit the family. You know, see what's going on up Lakeside. But also, yeah, might try to catch pop a summer movie in, watch some basketball, watch some baseball. A fun, exciting weekend in Major League Baseball with the season sort of heating up. So yeah, it should be should find a way to stay busy.
Again, all right, we've got a couple of minutes left in the show. Dan, by the way, is running the board, so he's answering the phone as well. So when Dan's talking, he's not able to get to the phone. We'd love to hear from you here in the final couple of minutes. Again, a reminder that we will get the long weekend as well. We will have a Memorial Day off, as do everyone here at the Auburn Network, and we'll be back on Tuesday. And let's get back to the phones. We got Jerry back with us.
We have Jerry back with us. What's up, Jerry?
Hey, guys. Just wanted to mention my dad was in the Air Force, and he was stationed in Japan, in Tokyo, when I was born.
Oh, wow. So, you weren't there, right?
No.
Oh, okay. So mom was stateside while your dad was in Tokyo.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool, Jerry.
Just thought I'd mention that.
Oh yeah, appreciate the call.
All right. See you.
All right. Have a great weekend, Jerry.
Yeah, appreciate it, Jerry. Good stuff. Bill, you should read up on Chrome Dome.
I will. I had not heard of it. Doesn't surprise me at all. The tension, the feelings that there were during the Cold War, absolutely.
From 61 to 68, they had B-52 strategic bomber aircraft armed with thermonuclear weapons on constant, continuous airborne alert, flying routes that put them positions to attack.
I would expect that there was some similar action being taken by the Russians.
Yeah, I mean,
they had some flights as well, ready to move.
And considering how many different targets there were potentially to talk about, I think this was pretty widespread across Air Force Base in the 60s. You had at least somebody, you know, on Chrome Dome duty with the bombers, and that's especially abroad, you know, because it was where there's, you know, places from Greenland to Africa, Middle East, you know, parts of Europe. I mean, it was the whole thing, and then of course
Alaska.
Yeah, the whole thing.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So yeah, that was. And I feel like that was probably those are probably white knuckle flights. You know, even if it was just like, yeah, you know, it's probably going to be the war's probably not going to break out while we're in the air tonight, but you know that call might come.
Oh yeah, so yeah, that is why I will definitely check on that. So yeah, we hope everybody has a very pleasant, not too stressful Memorial Day weekend. Hope everybody, looks like the weather is going to be very accommodating. So enjoy, folks.
We talked about food and cooking so much on this show that you probably should send another shout out to our boy, the cheese curd, Master Chef. Bryson McGlynn, right, is the young man's name, an Auburn Opelika native, winning Fox's Master Chef Junior earlier this week, and getting the grand prize, and really representing himself and the community well the whole time on the show. Totally, he came off as very, very charming, very capable young man.
Yeah, let's see. One last check as we go off. Auburn now tied for third. They've made up two more strokes and just one shot out of second right now, the Auburn men's golf team. I would expect them to continue competing. They are the number one overall seed of the NCAA Golf Championships. All right, again, have a great Memorial Day weekend, everyone. Hopefully a safe and enjoyable weekend. We'll be back with you Tuesday, and again, we'll be coming to you from Franklin Tire. So we will talk to you then. Have a great long weekend, everybody. We are out of here.